embracing your complexities means rejecting anything that can harm who you are, like smoking cigarettes, which can damage nearly every part of your body. Tap the banner to see more. This free life. Freedom to be tobacco free.
Blog Talk Radio.
Prophecy, news, wars, rumors of wars, violence, the shaking of the earth, the end times, the end of the world as we know it. Welcome. You are listening to
Warn Radio into the night.
We are kicking the tires, lighting the fire, stirring the melting pot of America and the world. Welcome to Warn Radio. This is The Warrior, and today is the 18th day of November 2011. This week's theme, Vines, Vineyards, and Vintage. And a reminder that no show this Thursday, Thanksgiving, so the 24th day of 2011, Warn Radio will be off to enjoy a time of Thanksgiving before the Lord and with our families. And then tonight on Warn Radio, Abraham established, promise fulfilled. Our Torah reading tonight is Genesis chapter 23 and verse 1 through chapter 25 and verse 18, as well 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 31. And at this time, I would welcome the watchman, Dana Smith, but tonight he is out. We did have a family emergency. My grandfather had slipped and fell, so they are there with him tonight, taking care of him. So I am your host tonight. So again, welcome, and I'm glad you are here tonight. Shalom, Shabbat. I hope your Sabbath is starting out well. As for me, you know, it's snowing, you know, winter is starting to open the door, let's say. We are under some winter advisories. We do have a couple inches, slick roads, and, you know, looks like winter. And, you know, what is to say about Wyoming winter? Well, I can tell you this. That once hunting season is over, I am ready for spring. I'm ready to just end winter. You know, if I could just have the spring, the summer, and the fall, I would be happy. But that is not the case here in Wyoming, USA. So a few reminders this week, especially Sunday. Many of you do get the Watchman Exposé newsletters, and those of you who do not, I encourage you to do so. You can sign up for those at warnusa.com or warn-radio.com. Those are two of the sites that you can sign up. So this week, the Watchman newsletter. The hard-hitting, biblical, in-depth writing on faith, salvation, Jesus, prophecy, end of the world, and the return of Christ. And this week, Exposé features the Lord's Harvest Vintage. And what vintage are you? Vintage is important. Most wine drinkers of excellent taste know the year and vintage of the grapes that make the wine they drink. Well, tonight, it seems like I'm a little out of my timing tonight. You know, I'm used to having a few things going on here at the same time, and, you know, I'm doing the show tonight, so again, I welcome you all, and what we do have coming up this week is just that. Well, tonight's show, Abraham Established, Promise Fulfilled, and before we get into that tonight, I would like to send a prayer out to my grandfather and let him know that I love you and that I do care about you, and I appreciate you very much. You have been a strong influence in my life, and I think the world of you, and I appreciate you, and I bid you a speedy recovery. And I'd also, at this time, just like to pray and before we open up God's word tonight and chew on some of his word and thank him for his many blessings that he has given us. And also through this study tonight, I think that you will see, you know, these promises that are out there, you know, that God has promises for you. And for example, you know, I do a lot of hunting. And in 2000, it was, the year 2000, I went hunting for the first time with a friend that I met at church. And we decided we were going to go hunt some whitetails. And I've never really hunted whitetails, but I was going to do it. And lo and behold, right about the first day of November, the snow came. And it came heavy, and it was deep. And it closed the roads down for a couple days. And that weekend, we took off. And we're over in the Black Hills of Wyoming, a very beautiful place and precious place. And the snow was anywhere from 2 to 3 feet deep. And you had to maneuver the terrain in this deep, wet snow, and you hunted for hours. And, you know, I saw whitetails, and I never really got a shot at anything. And on Thanksgiving of that year, it was the fourth time that my friend and I had gone out, and it was going to be the final time, and we're out there hunting. And, you know, I'd walked this ground several times, you know, and hunted and hunted and hunted and saw very few deer and tails. And, you know, I just didn't get a right shot on anything. I didn't see horns. And that morning of the 24th, I heard a shot, and I knew that my friend had got a buck, had got a deer. And around probably 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm up in these rocks, and I knelt down before God and I said, Lord, if there's anything I have done, make me aware that I may repent of those things, you know, because I was really believing that God was going to give me a deer. And I wasn't asking for much, you know. It was just, you know, I just want, you know, a nice little even rat, you know, say 3 or 4 points. And I got done praying, and I looked up in his direction, and I saw from the sky, it was like this colored, like flickery imagery, you know, just like a stream of light that was of colors. And it started in the tops of the trees, and it came down to the ground, and right there was this deer. And I could tell you my heart was pounding so hard, and I brought up the gun, and I put everything where it needed to be, and I pulled the trigger, and I hit this deer, and it took off running a little bit, and it fell. And I got up to this deer. At first I was thinking it was just a little 2-point buck, but it was a deer. And God gave it to me, and I got up to it, and, you know, this does choke me up. And there was this buck, and I pulled up, you know, I pulled his head out of the snow, and there was 4 points on each side, and it was just even. And I just was so happy that I knelt down, and I prayed, and I thanked the Lord for this animal that he gave me. You know, it was just, it was a neat experience, and it was exactly what I asked for. You know, it wasn't, you know, no monster buck. It was just this nice, even rack, you know, nice whitetail that you see on TV. And I was very thankful for that. And years later, I went with the same friend, and we decided to go elk hunting. Same thing. I ain't looking for much, you know, something about yay big, 4 or 5 points, you know, yay tall. Well, we're up this time in the Bighorn Mountains of Wyoming, and we're hunting elk. Again, I hunted and hunted and hunted. And on the last day, my son and I were coming out, and I said, I'm just going to go back here a couple hundred yards and see what I see. And walking through the timbers, you know, a couple hundred, 300 yards back in there, I see this elk. And I kid you not, my thoughts were simply this. I said, huh, an elk. And to myself, in my mind, I said, what are you doing here? And again, I brought the gun up and pulled the trigger, and I brought home this elk. But the funny thing is this elk is exactly this wide, this tall, and on one side it has 4 points, and on the other side it has 5 points. And it's funny sometimes, and I have these as reminders, that sometimes when we look at promises before God, when we ask of things for God, we're minimalist in our thought pattern. We think, okay, this is all I need. This is it, just this little bit. But yet when we look at Abraham, okay, God said, leave this area of your father's land and come to the land which I will show you and I will give you. You know, and Abraham believed God. And I think that sometimes that's where we need to go, is we really need to look at that, and instead of saying, oh, well, I just want a little buck, or an elk that only has 4 or 5 points, we could just as easily say, Lord, I'm looking for elk royale, you know, the great big monster world record elk. I mean, that prayer, that belief is just as easy as believing in the minimalist mentality. You know, yes, God will provide those things because he promises you, okay? He does say he will provide for you and prosper you in the land. But our thinking sometimes is small. And I think after tonight's study, you will see that Abraham didn't think small. He thought, well, God said it, there it is. And so, give me just a second here. Lord God, tonight we come before you with broken hearts and broken minds and just stand before you naked and exposed, Lord, tonight, that we just ask that you would dwell within us. Lord, that you would put the words on our heart that we need to speak, that they come forth. Lord, not our words, but your words. Lord, I just pray for each and every individual that hears this message tonight, Lord. I ask that they would be richly blessed. Lord, that they will not come into this session tonight, that they will not hear this radio and just let it pass and fall to the ground. No, Lord, that these seeds that are being sowed tonight, Lord, I ask that you water them seeds. And Lord, I pray for fruit in the lives of every individual that hears this, into the families of every individual. Father, I ask tonight that promises that people have held on to for years and have not seen the fruit. I pray tonight, God, that fruit would come through in their lives. Lord, tonight I just lift up my parents and I lift up my grandfather to you. Lord, I know that they're in your hands and that they're in good care, and I just thank you for them. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So tonight we are talking about Abraham and his established promise fulfilled. The promise fulfilled with the uniting of Isaac and Rebekah. The inheritance is set, and the children of Abraham are not mixing with the tribes of foreign nations. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 38 says, "But thou shalt go unto my father's house, and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son." And in Genesis chapter 24, verse 40, it says, "And he said unto me, The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son, and my kindred, and my father's house." So starting out here, we'll find, you know, four things right off the bat here. One, that the established in the inheritance of Abraham. Two, we'll see that Sarah dies. And three, that the Lord has blessed Abraham in all things. And four, Abraham, this mighty prince. So starting in Genesis chapter 3 in verse 1, "And Sarah was 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. In verse 2, "And Sarah died in Kirjath Arba." The name is Hebron in the land of Canaan. "And Abraham came to mourn Sarah and to weep for her." And he says, "I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight." In chapter 5, or verse 5, excuse me, "And the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying unto him, Hear us, my Lord, thou art a mighty prince among us. In the choice of our sepultures, bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold from thee his sepulture, but that thou mayest bury thy dead." And moving on to verse 19 in Genesis chapter 23, "And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, before Mamre, the same is Hebron in the land of Canaan. And the field and the cave that is therein were made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a burying place by thy sons of Heth." Now moving on here into chapter 24, the fulfilling of the promise of Isaac. You know, we have here Abraham is now old and well stricken. He has just buried his beloved wife, Sarah, the mother of nations. He is at this time now sending his eldest servant, Eliezer of Damascus, of his house. And Eliezer would be extremely old, I guess more than 60 years old. 60 years, excuse me, had passed since Genesis chapter 15 and verse 2. And going back to verse 2, that is the promise, you know, where Abraham said unto the Lord God, "What will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" And then it goes on in verse 3 and 4, "And then Abraham said, Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. And then that's when he brought Abraham outside, and he said, Look in the heaven and count those stars, if you can. And he said, So shall be your descendants. I think that's, you know, that's one of those promises I was talking about. You know, sometimes we don't see those things manifest. Those are the things I pray tonight. All those promises that you've been holding on to, that they be fulfilled, you know, that they be manifest, that you begin to see the fruits of that promise. You know, those little things that you've held on to for years. And sometimes we've put them in the back of our minds and just left them there. And you know, we kind of entertain them a little bit sometimes. You know, pull some of those out and pray before God. You know, get those promises out and begin to dwell on those things. And say, God, I believe this is the promise that you gave to me. And you know, stand on that. And again, look for those. Well, I digress. But in chapter 24 and verse 1, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, and said, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And now this promise to extend the seed of Abraham in action. The Lord would fulfill his promises to Abraham, the servant, if the woman not be willing to follow him to the land where Abraham was. Could he bring out, well, let me skip this for a minute. Okay, moving on to verse 5 of 24. And the servant said unto him, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that swore unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. In verse 8, and if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And so we have here Damascus who made a promise. He swore an oath. And he held his hand under Abraham's thigh, which is a bodily oath. And then in verse 29, chapter 24, and the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning the matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he came and he made his camels to kneel down outside the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, the time that women go out to draw water. And at this time in chapter 12, and he said, O Lord God, Jehovah, the God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by a well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And in verse 14, this is where the servant lays out a prayer, almost a fleece before the Lord. And he says, and let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. I kind of like that. Well, some time had passed, and it came to pass before he was done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. Now the prayer had signs fixed and to be fulfilled. One of those things, that he would say to the woman, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And then it required an action upon that woman. Like she could have told him no, or, you know, go over there and stick your head in the well yourself. But she didn't. Rebekah, the woman, said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. And last, this is the point that the servant knew that this woman was the one that the Lord appointed for her, for his servant. We move on to verse 17. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my Lord. And she hastened and let down her pitcher unto her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they are done drinking. And she hastened and emptied her pitcher into thy trough and ran again unto the well to draw water for all his camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Now that right there in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 21 was pretty funny. You know, here he is standing there and you know, he had prayed, and he stood there before the Lord, and he wondered. After his prayer had been answered before his eyes, he's sitting there going, has the Lord made my journey prosperous or not? Did it happen this quickly? You know, sometimes it's like we pray, and boom, there it is. And sometimes we pray, and it's over a period of time that things happen. You know, I think that probably here, it caught him off guard, that he wasn't prepared to see that his prayer was answered so quickly. And in Genesis chapter 4:22, and it came to pass, as the camels had had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. Now, I'm not sure what a shekel was at that time, but I'm assuming that 10 shekels was a pretty hefty measure of gold. So we see now, just through this short break in chapter 23 and 24, that the inheritance is beginning to come together. All this that Abraham had was going to be passed on to his son. Well, first he needed a wife. So we see almost a merging, you know, a beginning of this promise, you know, that Abraham is beginning to see these things that God had sworn to him and told him. And then to the servant that he had gone on this journey, that he had sworn oath to Abraham, and Abraham said that the Lord thy God will send an angel before thee, and thy journey shall be prosperous. Now Rebecca, the word means a tie rope for animals, or rather a noose. Many of us men would find that kind of funny. Here's a woman whose name stands for a noose. You know, the knot, tie the knot. Some of those scenarios, you know, run through my head. Its application meaning by figure of her beauty that bears this name, by means of which men are snared and bound. You know, there's nothing like being blessed. There's nothing like having a direct prayer answered. And nothing like knowing God sends his angels before us. There's nothing like having a covenant with God who does all this for his servants. And there's nothing like rejoicing and seeing this done. You know, as I illustrated earlier tonight, you know, about that deer that I gotten, you know, that rejoicing, there was this rejoicing, you know, because in the back of my mind, you know, I just, you know, how do you go hunting and come home empty, you know, after all that hard work, you know, and you stand there and you just lay it out before God, and then boom, there's that prayer being answered. You know, and that set of horns is right there above my computer as I sit here and speak to you tonight. It's just directly above my computer. And I look at that often because that is significant to me. You know, I mean, look at that. There's nothing like being blessed. God blessed me with a deer. There's nothing like a direct prayer being answered. I prayed and behold, there was this deer. And there's nothing like knowing that God sends his angels before thee. And no matter where you go, no matter what you're doing, there is God sending his angels out before you. And there is also nothing like having a covenant with a God who does not forget his promises, who delights in these measures and delights in fulfilling these promises to his servants. And again, there is nothing like rejoicing and seeing all this done. In Genesis chapter 24 and verse 23, let's see, where are we now? Okay, so the servant of Abraham had finally met this young lady, this damsel, as she is called. Her name is Rebecca. and in 24, chapter 24 and verse 23, and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" And she said unto him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor." She said moreover unto him, "We have both straw and provider enough and room to lodge in." And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not let destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I bring in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." And in verse 28, the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. Now Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And I believe that is blessed of the Lord. And in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 29, and Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earrings and bracelets upon his sister's hand, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, "Thus spake the man unto me," that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels." You know, I think that too is an interesting point when we look at that. You know, here's this man who journeyed a long ways. He said, "Abraham, I'll go." And he went. He didn't necessarily know exactly where he was going. I suppose that he probably did know exactly where he was going. It's just that, what do I do when I get there? Where shall I stay? You know, and when Abraham said that the Lord God will send an angel out before thee and prepare that path, you know, it's like, you know, right now we have snow. It's like somebody just coming up to your house and sweeping all that snow out of the way so that your path to your car has been completely cleared. There's no obstacles in the way. All the snow has been removed. The ice is put down to melt any ice that may be there. And there you are, right at your car. You know, you've been delivered from any obstacle, any danger, and everything has been prepared. And there stands the servant of Abraham. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, "I will not eat until I have told my errand." And he said, "Speak on." So, in verse 34, this is where Abraham's servant begins to explain his journey. And he said, "I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he had become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold, and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And unto him he hath given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, perhaps the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. And in verse 41, then shalt thou be clear from thy oath when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear of my oath. So in other words, if he goes there and she says, no, I'm not going with you, I don't care how many camels or golden earrings or shekels of gold that this man has, I am not going with you. The servant is then released of his oath that he swore, and he can return to Abraham. And so we pick up in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 42. And I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou doest prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water. And it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out of my master's son. And before I had done speaking in mine heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earrings upon her face and the bracelets upon her hand. And in verse 48, the servant worships the Lord God. So, and he said, and I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's daughter unto his son. Well, folks, I do believe we have about 46 minutes left, but I'm going to put us on hold here, and I'm going to give us a break real quick, and let's see if I can find it. I don't really necessarily do this part of it, but I know it's in here somewhere. Here it is. All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with you in about 4 minutes.
I'm the watchman of the WIBR Warren Radio Network and Ministry, greeting you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome. You can find us online and all of our vast resources on any one of our 5 websites. But for here today, you can contact us, ddayforamerica.com, wingswatchman.org, or warrenusa.com. From there, you can go to all of our sites. You can contact the Watchman at Warn Radio, P.O. Box 280, Mills, Wyoming, 82644. That's P.O. Box 280, Mills, M-I-L-L-S, Wyoming, that's W-I, 82644. This is The Watchman. Shalom. Till next time. The Call of the Watchman, back in 2006, I wrote a book called D-Day for America. And ever since then, it has been with our publisher, Zulong Press. And it's more relevant today than ever. We have been warning for many, many years, but this book stands as a hallmark of the message of which the Lord had prompted me to give. Brings to the forefront the lurid lifestyle of Americans and the lukewarmness of many Christians, and contrasts this to the biblical basis of Christian discipleship. And in D-Day for America, we see a rejoicing of America who sits upon the heap of the nations and glories in her success. That is, until now. Now, I encourage you to check the book out. Go to ddayforamerica.com. That's D-Day, F-O-R, America.com. Greetings, everybody. This is The Watchman. Luke 21, 34 through 36 says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with worldly excess and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware. For as a snare, this day shall come upon all them that dwell upon the face of the whole earth. Watch all of you, therefore, and pray always, so that all of you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." This is The Watchman reminding you, my friends, to fast, pray, and seek the Lord. Set your love upon Him. Welcome to today's show, and thank you for listening. I'm The Watchman. My name is Dana Smith. Now go to our websites today, wingswatchman.org, ddayforamerica.com, or warren-usa.com. While there, you can sign up for the free Hot Prophecy Updates, which features world affairs, schedules from our Warren radio broadcasts, links to many of our shows that we have. So stop by the sites today and sign up. It's safe. Subscribe. You can unsubscribe at any time, and there's lots of information. So get your free Hot Prophecy Update World Affair newsletter today. Go to the website, wingswatchman.org, ddayforamerica.com, or warren-usa.com, and get your information today sent to you direct to email. Safe. Subscribe, my friends. Do it today. Get yours.
And welcome back. Once again, this is the Warrior filling in for the Watchman tonight, and you are listening to Warren Radio. And tonight is our Sabbath segment, and it is Abraham Established Promise Fulfilled. And this is all part of our theme this week on vines, vineyards, and vintage. So getting back to where we left off, if I can find it, there it is. So far tonight, we have gone through the death of Sarah. We have gone into the servant of Abraham, who Abraham made him promise, made him swear to go to my father's land and bring back a wife for my son. And he says, whatever you do, do not go and bring back a wife from the people where I live. In other words, the Canaanites. He was in the land of Canaan. And he said, do not bring me back a woman from the Canaanites to be the wife of my son. And so this servant had taken off, and he had traveled, you know, how many ever days it took. And he knelt down and by outside the city, by the water, and he prayed. And he said, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink, and she shall say to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. So this servant had laid out a prayer before God. It had been answered, and now here he sits in the house of strangers, basically, but of the woman who answered his prayer, you know, who abided in his prayer, you know, that the Lord God had put the words that he spoke onto her lips, and that's what she had spoke. And so now he's in the house of brethren, her brothers, Laban and Bethuel, or her father, Bethuel, excuse me, and her mother. Laban is her brother. At this time, Laban seems to take part here in making decisions, speaking and going out first. Now, this servant, by this time, has described every detail of his journey to both her brother and her father, as well her mother. And he did all of this before he would even eat a thing. And so we pick up in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 49. And now if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. And Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee good or bad. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go. And let her be thy servant's son, or thy master's son, rather. And let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah, and gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night, and they rose up in the morning. And he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. So they went on to say, well, we'll go ask Rebekah what she has to say. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. I got these images, these things running through my mind at this time. You know, I just wonder of her enthusiasm. You know, sometimes how giddy girls get. You say, well, I got a gift for you. And they will do everything they can in their powers to get you to say what it is. Well, where is it? You know, it's like Christmas almost, you know. Well, let me open it up one day early. You're like, no. So I have all these things, you know, that they went and they asked Rebecca. And I just kind of think here of this context. And I think that she was rather excited and curious, you know, and ready to go, ready to leave her father's house and you know, just go. Get out of town. And so Rebecca is sent away with a blessing. The mother of thousands of millions. And they sent away Rebecca, their sister, and her nurse, and Abram's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebecca, and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed them in. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And so we see here that this blessing that was possessed, you know, that was given to her, you know, by her family. And they said, go be the mother of thousands of millions. Well, that is almost verbatim of chapter 22 and verse 17 of the Lord's blessings. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. So we can see there that last part there was, you know, verbatim, of Genesis chapter 22 and verse 17. So on to 24 and verse 62, and Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahori, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening tide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered her face. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Abraham sees his seed blessed, God's promise fulfilled. Abraham takes another wife and has more seed. And we are now into Genesis chapter 25, starting in verse 1. Then again Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua. And Jokshan begot Sheba, and Dadan, and the sons of Dadan were Asherim, and Letisham, and Laminium. And the sons of Miniam were Ephah, and Epher, and Hanak, and Abida, and Eldah. All these were the children of Keturah. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. But unto the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son, while he yet lived eastward unto the east country. And these are the days and the years of Abraham's life, which he lived 175 years. So what is that? Like 100? That's 145 years old. So in chapter 25 in verse 8, it says, then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man, and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zor, the Hittite, which is before Mamre. The field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth, there was Abraham buried, and Sarah his wife. And it came to pass, after the death of Abraham, that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well Lahairi. Now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto him. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael, by their names according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael was Nebajoth, Kedar, Abel, and Mibsam, and Dua, and Massa, Kedar, and Tema, Jetur, Napish, and Kedema. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names by their towns and by their castles, 12 princes according to their nations. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, in 137 years, and he gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered to his people. In verse 18, and he dwelt from Havilah unto Shur, that is before Egypt, and thou goest toward Assyria. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. The house of David, the descendant of Abraham, fulfilling the promise. Moving on into 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 2. Wherefore his servants said unto him, let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in the bosom, that my lord the king may get heat. So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coasts of Israel, and found Abishag, a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. And the damsel was very fair, and cherished the king, and ministered to him. But the king knew her not. Then, in 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 5, then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared his chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? And he also was a very godly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abathar, the priest. And they followed Abijah and helped him. But Zadok the priest and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada and Nathan the prophet and Shimei and Rei and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zoheth, which is by in Rogel, and called all his brethren, the king's son, and all the men of Judah, the king's servant. But Nathan the prophet, and Benaniah, and the mighty men of Solomon his brother were called not. And wherefore Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, Hast thou heard of Adonijah, the son of Haggith, doth reign? And David our Lord knoweth it not. And therefore came, Let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel, that thou mayest save thine own life, and the life of thy son Solomon. And so we see here that another is trying to take Solomon's throne, and he has a few followers. Bathsheba, Nathan, the prophet, go to David. And in verse 13 of chapter 1 of 1 Kings, Go and get thee in unto King David, and say unto him, Didst not thou, my lord, O king, swear unto thy handmaid, saying, Assuredly Solomon my son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. Why then doth Adonijah reign? And behold, while thou yet talkest, there with the king, I also will come in after thee, and confirm thy words. And Bathsheba went in unto the king, into the chamber, and the king was very old. And Abishag the Shumite ministered unto the king, and Bathsheba bowed, and did obeisance unto the king. And the king said, What wouldest thou? And she said unto him, My lord, thou swearest by the Lord thy God unto thy handmaid, saying, Assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. And now behold, Adonijah reigneth, and now, my lord the king, thou knowest it not. And he has slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and hath called all the sons of the king, and Abiathar the priest, and Joab the captain of the host, but Solomon thy servant he hath not called. And thou, my lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are upon thee, that thou shouldest tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise it shall come to pass, when my lord the king shall sleep with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon shall be counted offenders. And lo, while she yet talked with the king, Nathan the prophet also came in. And they told the king, saying, Behold, Nathan the prophet. And when he came, and when he was come in before the king, he bowed himself before the king with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, My lord, O king, hast thou said, Adonijah shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne? For he has gone down this day, and hath slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and hath called all the king's sons, and the captains of the host, and Abiathar the priest. And behold, they eat and drink before him, and say, God save King Adonijah. But even me, thy servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada, and thy servant Solomon, he hath not called. Is this thing done by the Lord the king, and thou hast not showed it unto thy servant, who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him? Then King David answered and said, Call me Bathsheba. And she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king swore and said, As the Lord liveth, that hath redeemed my soul out of distress, even as I swear unto thee, the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly, Solomon, thy son, shall reign after me. And he shall sit upon my throne in my stead. Even so will I certainly do this day. Then Bathsheba bowed her face to the earth and did reverence to the king and said, let my lord, King David, live forever. And well, ladies and gentlemen, I did make it through that reading tonight. I was kind of curious upon doing all that tonight. I do hope that I was able to fill such big shoes that Dana has. He is a very gifted and scholarly individual. He is a very passionate man. He is, you know, labored is, I believe, the right word in prayer for many of us. All of us that listen to this show, you can rest assured that at one time or another, or all in abundance, Dana has been praying for each and every one of you. And that's, I think that that's something that isn't said in the church today. You know, yeah, we go to churches and we have these pastors and well, if I need something, I can go to the pastor and, you know, he'll pray with me. You know, this is a ministry that isn't like that. You know, when God says pray, Dana prays. And I know that he's praying for many of you individuals tonight, and I think it shows the amount of people that get prayers answered. You know, some may come in and they're sick, and, you know, before you know it, they're healed. You know, these kinds of things, signs and miracles shall follow them, and I think that is something that is what this ministry is the most. You know, that Dana and Tower and myself, we do care and recognize and treat you all as family because we are thankful to God for each and every one of you. Hold on just a second. Looks like my headpiece is dying here. Okay, I am back on. I'm tied to a string now. You know, these Bluetooths have batteries to them, and I guess they need charged once in a while. So if I sound a little off balance, that's because I'm in one place. Normally, I am on my feet, and I'm back and forth and moving about. But I was saying that I appreciate each and every one of you. You all play a very special role in this ministry and in my life and in Dana and Tower's life. And I know that they feel the same as I do towards you all. And so, again, we are thankful for you. We do have a few minutes tonight. We have about 17 minutes, and I would like to open up those phone lines tonight, and our number is 646-652-2575. And the reason I'd like to open those up is, you know, I would just like to, you know, if you have a prayer that has been answered or a praise report, you know, things of those nature, you just want to call in and say, hey, this is that time to do so. Again, our number is 646-652-2575. I would also like to remind you of the Watchman Exposé newsletter that is sent out to your email box every Sunday. The hard-hitting, biblical in-depth writing on faith, salvation, Jesus, prophecy, end of the world, and the return of Christ. And this week's feature, The Lord's Harvest Vintage. And it asks the question, what vintage are you? Because the vintage is important. And most wine drinkers of excellent taste know the year and vintage of the grapes that make the wine they drink. So I'd just like to encourage you to get those. And if you do, I'd like to encourage you to read those. Again, there's a lot of time that goes into that. And, I think sometimes we don't see all those labors that go into that. But You know, they're there. And anyway, tonight, I'm just scrolling up through our topics tonight, reminding you, letting you know what tonight's service was on, or our Shabbat, rather. But tonight, we went through Abraham established promise fulfilled. And we also followed through with the Torah readings. We went through Genesis chapter 23 and verse 1 through Genesis chapter 25 and verse 18. And we went through 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 31. And so kind of as a recap tonight, through Genesis, we saw the established and the inheritance of Abraham. We read that Sarah died, and you know, she lived 127 years. Could any of you imagine 127 years? We also read and you know, and saw how the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things, and how Abraham was a mighty prince. You know, in chapter 23 and verse 6, it says, "Hear us, my Lord, thou art a mighty prince among us." And it was at that point that they gave Abraham the pick of the litter. Whatever sepulcher you would like, you know, for your burying spot, we're going to give you, and no man is going to withhold from thee. And then we saw the fulfilling the promise to Isaac. You know, Abraham was now old and well stricken. He has, again, just buried his wife Sarah, the mother of nations. And he went out and he sent his eldest servant, Eliezer. And he had Eliezer swear an oath to him. And that was, you know, go to the land of my fathers and pick out a wife for my son, and not pick out a wife from the land in which I dwell. You know, don't give my son one of these Canaanite women. And we saw that from Genesis chapter 24, from Genesis chapter 15 through Genesis chapter 24, that more than 60 years had passed. We also read tonight that the promise to extend the seed of Abraham in action. You know, the Lord would fulfill his promise to Abraham. This promise that he made back in chapter 15, he was going to fulfill it. And just kind of going over some notes here. Trying to recap some of the things that we went through tonight. We did see that this servant, Eliezer, did take camel, and he did travel and journey on. That he did swear that oath before Abraham, and he journeyed. And when he got there, he laid out a prayer and a fleece, if you will. He said, "Lord God of my master Abraham, I'm going to sit here outside the city by the well, and I'm going to wait because it's evening time. And that's when the women come out and draw the water. And I'm going to ask one of them women to give me a drink. And she's going to give me a drink. Not only is she going to give me a drink, Lord, she's going to water these camels. And that is how I'm going to know that that is the woman that you have set out for my servant, for my master Isaac." I think one of the funniest things tonight, to me, as reading this, is after he laid out that prayer, and there was this woman who came out, and she said it verbatim as he spoke it to the Lord. And not only did she give him water, but she watered the camels. But as you read in chapter 24 and verse 21, he's sitting there and he's wondering at her, and he held his peace. You know, he's just sitting there going, really? That quickly? The Lord has made my journey prosperous. You know, I think that was just kind of funny that he said this prayer. And yet there was this pause, you know, like he questioned, well, is this the one? Was it really that easy? Was it that quick? So I kind of find that interesting. But we do have about 9 minutes left, and I think what I'm going to do tonight, it doesn't seem that we didn't get any callers in tonight, you know, I would like to just kind of end tonight, and I would just kind of like to thank you for joining me tonight at Warren Radio for our Shabbat service. And, you know, I was glad I was able to attempt to step in for Dana tonight. And again, they thank you and appreciate your prayers. They appreciate, you know, you listening and you coming up into the chat and saying hello and letting us know how you're doing. So again, I'd like to encourage you to remember us on Tuesday night. We will be returning for another segment, and Dana will have his midweek service that time, and I will be there, and Tower will be there as well. So good night, everyone. I bid you a good night, a God bless, and see you Tuesday.
You've been listening to Warn Radio. Join us again next time for another edition. Until then, shalom, everybody.
Shalom, everybody. Shalom, everybody. Shalom, everybody. Shalom.
Mommy, I'm bored. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America?
Dad, I'm tired of the swing. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America?
There's no room to build a sandcastle. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America? Make your day prehistoric at the Bronx Zoo Dinosaur Safari.
Mommy, I'm bored. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America?
Dad, I'm tired of the swing. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America?
There's no room to build a sandcastle. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America? Make your day prehistoric at the Bronx Zoo Dinosaur Safari.